This podcast was specifically created for Distress and Crisis Ontario organizations and their volunteer responders to provide training and educational assistance on a variety of topics. As information evolves and changes, these podcasts are meant to offer ongoing support with the goal of updating them on an ongoing basis. We thank the volunteer responders and the contributors to this podcast. Please visit our website, dcontario.org, for more information and how to access free mental health services. Thank you.
And I am the program manager at Distress and Crisis Ontario. Thank you for choosing to listen to our podcast. Today, I am joined by our sadly outgoing student intern, Marina. She's been doing her placement with us for the last 4 months. She started with us in January and is just wrapping up her placement. So she's joining me today to talk a little bit about what her experience has been like here at DCO and to talk with us about breaking down barriers in women's healthcare, which she chose to write a blog post on for us as well. So Marina, thank you for joining me today. It's been a lot of fun working with you the last few months, and I'm a little bit sad to see you go. And I appreciate you joining me today.
Hi, Caitlin. Thank you so much. Thank you for all the kind things you have to say. I just wanted to give a little bit of an introduction. I am currently in my last year of my bachelor's program at my university, and I'm studying social development studies, which I will be moving on to pursue my bachelor of social work in the fall. So I'm really excited about that. And I think this placement and this experience has been a great opportunity and has been a great learning experience for my future program at the BSW, and I'm really excited to be able to take the things that I've learned from the DCO into my placement in the future. And I think one of the big reasons why I chose my placement at the DCO was because of the different things that I could have learned. I feel like I did have some base knowledge on suicide prevention and suicide awareness, but I didn't really know the in-depth and behind the scenes of what actually goes into curating resources, into fully understanding how suicidality works and what other things go into it. And I just was really excited to be able to try out this placement at the DCO and just expand my awareness. So thank you for the opportunity. I've had an amazing time. It's been a great ride, and I'm also really sad to see you go.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm glad that we've been a good placement. That's always nice to hear. So you kind of touched on this a little bit, but what are some of the things that you've learned through your time with us?
As I said, I had a pretty basic understanding of what goes into talking with someone who is in a time of crisis, of what suicidal ideation is, and perhaps the things and steps that you could take if somebody is going through these things. But I definitely underestimated how much like in-depth research and in-depth effort goes into actually figuring out step-by-step guidelines, figuring out what we can do, how different demographics are impacted, how you need to like approach different resources and different things for different demographics. And while I had like a basic understanding and a theoretical understanding from my knowledge and time at school, I really did expand my knowledge and my awareness through this placement, through my own research that I ended up doing. It really tested like what I knew, even worked on like biases that I could have had as well, which I was really appreciative of. And overall, the experience just really expanded my ability as well to do research, to curate resources for other demographics, to kind of take my life perspective and put it on the back burner as to not let that influence what I'm curating for other demographics that are not like myself. And I'm really appreciative of that. I think I am going to take what I have learned and definitely apply it in the future, not even just in my future school practices, but even as I grow and stuff into hopefully being a social worker in the future. I think it's really important. And I'm really glad that I learned such in-depth tools and strategies if someone is going through crisis, because like I said, I knew something, but I didn't really know in depth. And I feel like I have a much stronger understanding if somebody is going through a crisis situation of what I can do to not aggravate the situation and where I can actually point this person towards additional resources and additional support where I might not be able to help them out.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So just to give like a little bit of context to our listeners, one of the bigger projects that Marina worked on with us was updating our suicide prevention and awareness toolkits. So we already had some existing toolkits available on our website, and Marina worked to help us update and expand and create two new iterations, one for 2S LGBTQIA plus populations and one for Indigenous populations. So yeah, we had a lot of conversation and a lot of learning together, I think, too, in terms of finding some new ways to share resources and in terms of learning how important things like found family and culture can be. And yeah, definitely had some good learning experiences together too. So just wanted to acknowledge that and give that little bit of context as well. And then, of course, as I mentioned when I was introducing Marina, she's written a blog post for us on breaking down barriers in women's healthcare, which kind of fit in really nicely with a lot of the work that you had already been doing in terms of some of the same barriers existing. And right, you wrote a really good blog post on a lot of different aspects of healthcare and why specifically we need to talk about women's healthcare and some of those barriers that do exist. So I'm just curious why you chose this topic.
I decided to write a blog post on breaking down barriers in women's healthcare because lately in social media, I've kind of seen an uptake on research and studies that are currently being developed on women who are working within healthcare. And just the studies seem to be centered around the quality of care that people are receiving. And they have noticed a trend that patients who do receive care by women doctors are getting overall better care. Getting more compassionate care, their healing abilities are actually increased, like their recovery time is shortened. They usually have less complications with surgeries and stuff after. So I just thought that was something that was really interesting. And I thought that maybe like we should reiterate that there are still barriers in women's healthcare, even though that we are now like acknowledging that, wow, like women are actually doing this. Women are showing more care. Like this is something that's really important and it does need to be studied more. We still need to acknowledge how people who are receiving care, especially women and other minorities, are not receiving the care that they do deserve. And there are a lot of barriers encountering that. So I just thought it would be a kind of good like refresher just to go over a few things and just to have a more intersectional perspective on the barriers in women's healthcare.
Were you surprised by any of the information you found for the blog?
If I'm being honest, I don't think I was surprised at all just because of my experiences as a woman who has sought healthcare and as all the other women in my life that I have known who have sought out healthcare. And just like everyone's like different perspectives that they have like experienced when they sought out healthcare, it was very much like the information that I was hearing, I was like, yeah, like I know multiple people in my life, like friends, peers, colleagues who have gone and experienced healthcare, and they're experiencing different facets of the things that I wrote down in my blog. Because I don't think this is anything that is new. This is something that has been prevalent for a really, really long time. And it's something that still needs to be discussed because evidently the barriers are still there. So unfortunately, I'm upset to say that I wasn't surprised by any of the information just because it is something that I have come to expect, and I know other women and other people have also come to expect it as well, which is just an unfortunate reality.
I know when we were talking while you were writing it, one of the things that came up as well was acknowledging kind of the privileges that we have. Obviously, this is an audio format, so I'll just kind of note for everybody that Marina and I are both white cis females and we both live in Canada. And as much as we ourselves have experienced challenges accessing healthcare, we know that we still carry a lot of privilege and the challenges that we ourselves have had like are so little compared to other populations that have multiple barriers that we don't. So I think you did a really good job of acknowledging that in the blog as well. And just kind of wanted to add that in here too. So I'm wondering if you do have any suggestions for women who may be struggling with healthcare at the moment.
Thank you. I think, like, if I'm going from my perspective, as again, like, as you mentioned, like, I am a white woman, like, the perspective that I'm coming from, it might also be easier for me to self-advocate on my behalf. And I might be getting more privilege from a healthcare provider than other people, just because, unfortunately, our medical system is prejudiced, it is biased, it is unfair. What I have done in my past, like what I suggest to people, is just you really need to self-advocate. Like, even if you do get labeled as being either aggressive or rude, like, it's not aggressive or rude. Obviously, if you are not like behaving in an out of pocket way, but I have had to like really self-advocate for myself, even when I have been turned down, just continuously and continuously, like, keep going for it. That is one of my suggestions. I'm not saying that it is an amazing thing that you have to do, because unfortunately, like, we should be taken seriously the first time when we talk about something. But I have found that it is really difficult, and I have had to go to either multiple different healthcare providers, or I have just had to completely reiterate what I'm saying all the time until I have found someone who has taken me seriously. So while this might not be a really big solution, I think it is something that definitely has kind of helped me in the end, until I have found a healthcare provider who actually listens to me, which I'm very, very fortunate for getting. It did take a long time. I don't want anyone to feel discouraged, because it did take me approximately like 3 years to find a woman healthcare provider who took the time out of her day to actually listen to my problems. So I just want to put it out there. Like, I know it might seem really difficult, but just keep going. Like, you will find someone who takes care of you. I know it can look really discouraging, but there is someone out there who does care about your health. And I think checking out some of the resources that I added in the blog is a really good place to start if you don't know where to go. I put down a bunch of different stuff that anyone can check out, just kind of see like what works for you. I also put out a bunch of resources that take you to kind of central hubs of information, where you have an even more like expansive range of resources for specific issues, which I think is a really good thing. And I definitely recommend checking them out. It will take you to sort of catered care that is required and that you need. And I wish everyone luck with that.
I would just like to add too that if you feel like you cannot self-advocate well, you can always bring someone with you. And if there's anybody in your life that you know will really have your back and will be there to kind of even just open up space for you to insert your own voice, that can be really helpful as well. And whether that's a friend or a partner or maybe even a really trusted colleague that you're like, hey, I know that you can stick up for me. Are you willing to help me with this? Like that can have a lot of impact as well. I'm definitely someone, yeah, who has brought an advocate to doctor's appointments with me before for similar reasons. And yeah, just it can be really hard to feel like your voice isn't being heard. And sometimes just having an extra person there can make a huge difference too. But thank you, Marina, for sharing your experience as well, and hopefully giving a little bit of hope to those who are in the middle. 3 years is a really long time. But it is nice to know that you have found some resolution at the end of that. And hopefully that, yeah, lets others feel a little bit less alone in any battles that they are facing. So before we wrap up today, I'd just like to know if there's anything else that you would like to share.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I totally thank you, Caitlin, for bringing up that you can bring in someone to help advocate for you. I think having that kind of team environment is a great support system for you if you just are having trouble self-advocating. So I really appreciate you bringing that up. That is a really great tool. I think anything else that I would like to share is just definitely, I want to reiterate, like, check out the resources. I think there are some really, really great resources there if you are going through a hard time or you just don't know where to begin. I think it's a really good starting point. And to just like hopefully like not feel discouraged. And if you do, like, there's so many support systems out there that I have also included that can definitely help if you are experiencing times of need and ex times of distress. Yeah, just really check them out. And I hope that these resources do help you in the end. And I hope you enjoyed reading my blog and you took something from it. Thank you.
Yeah, so we will share the link to the blog in this episode's show notes. And I would like to again thank you, Marina, for joining me and for doing your placement with us and everything. And yeah, as always, if there's anything that you need support for, whether it is related to women's healthcare, whether there's anything else going on in your life, please do visit our website at www.dcontario.org/locations to find your nearest member center. They would be a great resource too if you're just looking for places to connect. The volunteer responders often have a very, very, very intensive knowledge of the resources in the area. So they're also a great place to start if you really can't find anything for where you live. And yeah, thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next week.
Thank you. Bye.